小时候我们牙牙学语，家是父母的怀抱，
长大后我们撑起一片天，成了家的脊梁，家是爱人的期待眷顾，
年老时当我们苍苍白发，家是子女绕膝享受天伦之乐，
家永远是最温暖的港湾。
欢迎收听西雅图中文电台家庭生活栏目。
亲爱的听众朋友们晚上好，欢迎您收听西雅图中文电台家庭生活栏目，我是主持人 Rachel。 我们都知道放射疗法是目前一种非常常见的治疗癌症的方法，那么对于放疗本身及其相关领域我们又了解多少呢？非常有幸今晚我请到节目里的嘉宾是 Ashmir Parsai 博士。 Parsai 博士是现任美国 Toledo 大学医学中心医学物理系放射肿瘤学系教授兼主任，他也是研究生医学物理学项目主任。在过去的十年里，他曾经担任17位博士生和58位硕士生的主要顾问。30年来Parsai 博士一直从事医疗物理方面的临床研究和教育工作，拥有非常丰富的肿瘤放射治疗相关理论和实践经验。他先后在2006年和2016年获得美国医学物理学会以及美国放射学委员会的认证。他曾经撰写过7项专利，其中4项已授权给制造商，并且已经用于癌症治疗。那么在这期节目里，我会请教 Parsai 博士几个有关肿瘤物理放射疗法的问题。
Good evening, Dr. Parsai. Welcome to our family show at Chinese Radio Seattle. It is a great pleasure today to have you here with us. Parsai 博士晚上好，欢迎您来到西雅图中文电台家庭生活栏目，很荣幸今天与您一起做节目。
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So you have been in the field of medical physics for the past 3 decades. First, can you please tell us about the scope of your work and what you do as a medical physicist?
您在医学物理界已经工作了近30年。那首先，您是否可以介绍一下，作为医学物理学家，您的工作范围是什么？
The field of medical physics is a relatively new field. Even though...It is as old as perhaps 5 decades. A lot of people don't know anything about medical physics. There are 2 major branches in medical physics. One can have a career in diagnostic imaging or in radiation oncology. I happen to work in radiation oncology. We treat cancer patients. We help radiation oncologists to treat cancer patients. Our job...includes radiation safety, radiation protection, radiation detection and measurement, planning treatment for patients, providing consultation for physicians at any time who may need our consultations, quality assurance of the equipment that we use for treatment, as well as quality assurance for patient planning and treatments. Many of these types of things, for example, shielding of the radiation,vault that、equipment gets into.、Mm-hmm. And、basically, I suppose we can, in a short term, we can say we are the technical guru in a radiation oncology department in every aspect of the field. It is the same way as if you say a radiation oncologist will write a prescription. We function as a pharmacist to fill that prescription with a difference that to fill that prescription,It takes about 80% of the time to get to the point where that plan or the treatment is ready to be delivered to the patient.、Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we need to consult with radiation oncologists to optimize plan and to get approval from radiation oncologists before we deliver a plan. And then we teach the rate, we consult or we advise the group of professionals called therapists.Who are the folks who actually deliver the radiation to the patient. So we work with them directly. In a situation, in a department, medical physics is a pivotal point within the department, in between the radiation oncologist, radiation therapist, and the nurses and so forth. So the group essentially work with the medical physicist to make sure everything works in a flow, in a simple, flawless flow to deliver the radiation.
尽管医学物理学大概已经有50年的历史，这仍然是一个相对比较新的领域。很多人还不太了解医学物理学。医学物理学有两个分支，一个是诊断成像，另一个是放射肿瘤学。那么我的研究和工作范围是在放射肿瘤学这个方面。我们和放射肿瘤学家一起治疗癌症病人，我们的工作包括确保放射线的安全、放射线防护、放射线检测、设置治疗方案，并且随时为可能需要我们的医护人员提供咨询服务。我们质保治疗设备以及患者治疗方案，例如放射线设备所在放射拱顶屏蔽的计算。简单的讲，我们确保放疗部门的工作能够顺利进行。当放射肿瘤学家制定了病人的治疗方案，我们医学物理学家就好比是药店里的药剂师一样，去帮助放射肿瘤学家准备他想要的处方。通常物理学家这个准备处方的过程几乎就占了整个前期准备过程的80%左右。但是当然，在提交放疗计划之前，我们需要咨询并得到放射肿瘤学家的批准，来确保治疗方案的最优化。我们的工作还包括给放射治疗师，也就是那些实际上给病人提供放射线的技术人员提供建议。医学物理学家的作用在放疗部门是十分关键的。我们在放射肿瘤学家、放射治疗师和护士等专业人员之间协同合作，从而确保放射肿瘤学家的治疗方案能够得到顺利的执行。
You just mentioned about there's some teamwork in between physicists and the radiation oncologists. So I wonder, what is the real difference between a radiation oncologist and a radiation physicist?
您刚刚提到了关于您与放射肿瘤学家的一些合作。那么放射肿瘤学家和放射物理学家它的主要区别是什么呢？
So we both have the same objectives, which is to treat cancer patients. The radiation oncologist is responsible to bring the cancer patients. He gets referral from medical oncologists or surgical oncologists to treat a cancer patient. Then he will review the patient's status, write a prescription as a physician. Then I, as a radiation physicist, will have to fill that prescription because our technical expertise as a radiation oncologist is one pillar of this field, and the radiation physicist is the other pillar. This is the only field in medicine that we come from a science background, such as have a bachelor in physics or engineering, and then build upon that a lot of courses in medicine, such as radiobiology, anatomy, physiology, and other things, so that we can both put our heads together and then, with the radiation oncologist and radiation physicist, sit together and decide what we can do to treat this cancer patient. I bring to the table the technical aspect and expertise of radiation treatment, radiation interaction with matter, all of the physics basis of how can a radiation be delivered to a target area with the safest possible way and the most effective and efficient way. And the radiation oncologist bring to the table anatomy, physiology, medicine, physiological function, the radiation tolerance of various organs at risk, which are in the vicinity of the tumor. Then we both sit and decide what is an optimized plan for a patient who has cancer in a certain area. It's interesting to note to your audience that the field of medical physics and radiation oncology are the only two fields in medicine that a non-physician gets board certified by a medical specialty board called American Board of Radiology in the United States. I don't think in Europe is the same way, but a lot of other countries are striving to achieve the same or a similar structure or a framework, if you will, so that they can get certification which is a qualification of a radiation physicist and a qualification of a radiation oncologist. So both certification is very important, meaning that it tells the patient that people who are treating me have the minimum requirement, minimum knowledge at least, mm-hmm. to treat me with the radiation. So in the United States, the medical physicists and radiation oncologists get board certified by this medical specialty board called ABR. And I happen to be an examiner of the ABR for the past 25 years, meaning that I also write questions for the ABR to be given to various mm-hmm. Students of medical specialty or physics specialty mm-hmm. to be taken. Our board certification is exactly identical. This is why this field is a true multidisciplinary field.
我们都有共同的目标，那就是治疗癌症患者。我们放射物理学家和放射肿瘤学家就好比是放疗领域的两个支柱。放射肿瘤学家从肿瘤内科医生或外科医生那里接收癌症患者，然后他们会审查患者的状况，并作为医生拟出治疗方案。然后作为一名放射物理学家，我则需要让这个方案得以实现。我们所在的领域是唯一拥有科学背景的医学领域，比如你可能拥有物理学或工程学学士学位，然后在这个基础上再学习很多其他的医学方面的课程，比如放射生物学、解剖学、生理学等等。我们把各自的特长放在一起来商讨并决定治疗癌症病人的方案。我将放射技术层面的物理专业知识放入考虑范围当中，比如物质的辐射相互作用以及如何以最安全最有效的方式传递放射线到目标区域。那么放射肿瘤学家则将肿瘤附近的各个器官及其相关风险从解剖学、生理学、医学、生理功能和放射耐受性等方面加入方案制定的考虑范围，然后我们一同坐下来决定有针对性的优化治疗计划。有趣的是，听众们应该了解，医学物理学和放射肿瘤学是医学中唯一的通过美国医学专业委员会获得认证的非医师专业。我认为欧洲目前还没有这样做，但是很多其他国家正在努力实现相同或者相似的认证体系，这样他们的医学物理学家和放射肿瘤学家也就可以获得认证了。专业认证十分重要，这意味着通过它能够告诉患者，治疗患者的人具有治疗癌症所需的最基本的资格和知识保障。那么在美国，医学物理学家和放射肿瘤学家需要获得美国医学专业委员会的认证。那么在过去的25年里，我恰巧是美国医学专业委员会的考官，我为医学专业和物理专业的学生制定考题。放射物理学家和放射肿瘤学家的认证是完全相同的，这就是为什么这个领域是一个真正的多学科领域。
So there are actually some shared areas or common knowledge in between the two kinds of expertise, right?
Yes.
And you work together as a team.
Exactly. The teamwork is essential. Mm. I will tell you that a radiation oncologist, with all due respect to my colleagues in radiation oncology community, cannot treat a patient without the aid of a medical physicist, nor a medical physicist can function without the existence of a radiation oncologist. We have to work together. Unfortunately, in the United States, that had already been established very nicely, and we work together in our clinics, and we know our areas of expertise. So we bring to the table different expertise that eventually, essentially, will help the patient.
团队合作至关重要。放射肿瘤学家不能在没有医学物理学家的帮助下治疗患者。那同样，医学物理学家也不能在没有放射肿瘤学家的情况下发挥作用。我们必须合作。幸运的是，在美国已经建立了良好的协作体系。我们在诊所一起工作，我们提供和运用我们的专业知识来帮助我们的患者。
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
现在是美国西部时间晚上十点整，这里是西雅图中文电台。
声声有情。
1150 AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM98.9 Channel 3，
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
热烈祝贺！
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 西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文电台，
西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文地带，
西雅图中文电台，
西雅图中文电台，
开播七周年。
Bella， 你恋爱了？
哪里有啊？
那你为什么这样的容光焕发呢？连双下巴都没了，就像变了一个人似的。
我啊，只是去卓玉医美打了两针，你看看，脸上皱纹没了，脸也瘦了，双下巴也不见了。Hello， Tony 啊，我们今晚去看电影。好呀，那就今晚见喽。
卓玉医美是您重返青春的最好朋友，干细胞水光针、微针、Botox、肉毒除皱、瘦脸针、玻尿酸填充，美丽人生不是梦想。夏季酬宾进行中，地址在 Davil 市中心，电话425-589-5747，425-589-5747。
钢琴王子李云迪将于2020年2月17日在西雅图 Benaroya 交响乐厅举行奏鸣曲世界巡回钢琴独奏会。购票请查询 event.vism.ca 或者请关注微信公众号 VISM 微智娱乐。
So how does radiation work in cancer treatment?
放射线如何在癌症治疗中发挥作用呢？
So radiation is something that we should everybody have been told that you want to stay away from. That is.To a large degree, a true statement. We don't need radiation, but at the same time, if radiation is managed and controlled, it can be a life-saving tool. At some points, as good or even better than surgery, if we know exactly what we are doing, if we know how to deliver it to the area that needs radiation. Mm-hmm. How does it work? It simply works based on cellular level. Radiation can kill cell. If the radiation mm-hmm. is exposed to a body of a live body, it will kill cell. Through break of the DNA, if the radiation, whether it is a photon or whether it's an electron or whether it is a proton or other heavy particles, is delivered to a human body, it will break DNA. If it creates a double strand break of the DNA, then that cell will die after probably 6 to 7 to 8 hours, wherever the cell cycle allows it.And it creates the radiation causes something what we call a free radical, which are really the agents of the radiation dose depositing into the tumor cells. So the challenge becomes really knowing that the radiation will kill cell. It will not differentiate between normal tissue cell, which we call organ at risk, or the tumor cell, which we need to kill. Mm-hmm. So the challenge of a medical physicist and a radiation oncologist is to sit together and really...put our thinking cap on for every patient. We need to decide how can we deliver the radiation to deliver the maximum radiation to the targeted area and then spare the surrounding and normal tissues.
每个人都听说过我们要远离放射线，我同意这样的说法。通常人们不需要放射线。但是假如我们知道如何运用和调节放射线，那它将是可以救命的工具。假如我们能够很好地运用放射线，它的治疗效果可以和手术一样好，甚至更好。放射线基于细胞水平工作，假如它暴露在活组织当中，它会杀死细胞，破坏 DNA。 无论那些放射线是光子、电子、质子或是其他的重粒子，假如传递给人体，他们就会破坏 DNA。 如果它产生 DNA 的双链制动，那么该细胞将根据自身周期规律，在大约6到8个小时后死亡。放射线会产生前自由基，它们实际上是辐射剂，会沉淀到肿瘤细胞当中。那么放射物理学家和放射肿瘤学家面临的挑战是，我们明明知道放射线会同时杀死正常细胞和肿瘤细胞，我们得想出办法让它能够最大程度地杀死目标区域的癌症细胞，而不是它周边的正常细胞。
So my next question will be, what is the difference between the internal radiation versus the external radiation you use for your treatment?
那么内部放射治疗和外部放射治疗的区别是什么呢？
External radiation is known as teletherapy. Tele means far distance. This is typically we use linear accelerators.So the patient lies on a treatment couch and there is no touching of the patient. The patient doesn't get touched at all, other than simply being set up, lined up, if you will, to be aligned with the radiation source. So the radiation externally will be turned on from a control console, and then the patient doesn't feel anything, get radiation, and hopefully, if you are delivering the radiation in the right area, right targeted area of the patient simply starts feeling better. The tumor will start melting day by day. And if you get a CT scan of a patient with a tumor that is such a large area of abnormality, 2 weeks later or even 3 weeks later, you can see the tumor really either shrunk completely or is shrinking. So the radiation works because, like I said, it will kill cells.Now, different types of radiation, proton therapy, electron therapy for shallow tumors, and photon therapy, which is a very common one, is used for most of the radiation type. Now, internal radiation is also used for various things. For example, if somebody has a thyroid cancer, we deliver radiation called iodine-131. We give them a pill of that radionuclide.And then the patient will take the pill of a prescribed amount. It goes into the stomach of the patient. Within few minutes, it becomes systemic to the bloodstream. It will participate in the thyroid of the patient. Or other radionuclides, such as technetium-199m. When it is injected into the vein of the patient, it goes into the bloodstream, and it's a bone seeker. So we use those for diagnostic imaging.Those are internal type of radiation. We can use them for both diagnostic imaging and for treatment.
外部放疗被称为远程放疗，远程就是远距离的意思。通常我们会使用线性加速器，让患者躺在治疗床上，患者被定位到射线源，不被触碰。然后外部放射线将从控制台启动，患者在接受射线治疗时没有任何感觉。如果放射线作用在正确的目标区域，肿瘤将逐日消失。可以运用 CT 扫描来观察到患者的肿瘤在2到3周就会完全或者逐渐萎缩，这就说明放疗起作用了。正如我之前所说的，放射线能够杀死癌细胞，那么不同类型的射线，比如电子疗法，可用于治疗浅层肿瘤，而光子疗法则是一个更为常用的放射疗法。内部放疗也很常用，例如对于甲状腺癌的治疗，我们使用称为点131的放射性同位素。我们给病人一颗放射性同位素的药丸，病人将按照规定服用该药，在数分钟内药物将进入病人的胃中，然后进入血液并沉积和作用于目标个体。其他类型的放射性核素如德99，当它被注入病人的静脉时，它会进入血液，然后进入骨骼，以便诊断成像和治疗。
So, as you mentioned, there are many different kind of cancers can be treated by radiation. So, is there any cancer that cannot be treated by radiation?
正如您刚刚介绍的，放疗适用于治疗各种不同的癌症肿瘤。那么有没有哪一些癌症是不适合运用放疗的呢？
So as far as I recall, the latest stand of the American Society of Therapeutic Radiation Oncology, known as ASTRO, which is our main organization for radiation oncology community, mm-hmm. is that there is really no subfield of cancer that cannot use radiation, meaning that radiation essentially can help almost every type of tumor. Now, in some, the radiation is absolutely required. In some, it can help. But if the patient doesn't receive radiation, it's not going to be a matter of life or death. Most of the time, the radiation is delivered in conjunction with surgery or chemotherapy, which are the other two modalities that are used for treatment of cancer. But sometimes the radiation is used as a single modality mm-hmm. for earlier stage tumors. If a tumor is detected very early, then our data of the past 10 years, for example, some in earlier stage prostate cancer, such as T1, T1B type tumors, we can deliver radiation and manage the tumor as good or perhaps better than having surgically removed the prostate. If it's a late stage, obviously we need to do chemotherapy, mm-hmm. radiation therapy, and if it is tumor resectable, surgery is always recommended, suggested. But if it is, depending on really the location of the tumor and also the stage of the tumor, sometimes radiation alone suffices.
据我所知，根据放射肿瘤学界的权威组织美国癌症放射肿瘤学会，还没有不能使用放疗所治疗的癌症。也就是说，放射线可以帮助几乎所有类型的肿瘤。在一些情况下，放疗是绝对必要的，而在另一些情况下，放疗起到辅助作用。这种情况，即使患者不用放疗，也不会危及生命。在大多数的情况下，放疗与手术或者化疗会结合使用，但有时放疗也会作为早期肿瘤的唯一治疗方法。那么，根据我们过去十年的数据，比如一些早期前列腺癌，如 T1 和 T1B 型肿瘤，我们使用放疗处理肿瘤的效果可以同手术切除的效果一样好，或甚至更好。如果是晚期的肿瘤，我们会结合使用化疗、放疗和手术。根据肿瘤的发展情况和所在的位置，有时候仅仅使用放疗就已经足够了。
So it depends on the patient's situation, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So what are the more specific characteristics and advantages of radiation therapy as opposed to other cancer treatment modalities?
与其他癌症治疗方式相比，放射治疗有哪些具体的特征和优势呢？
So the main advantage that I would it come to mind immediately is in radiation therapy there is no invasive procedure. So as a patient, when radiation therapy is prescribed as a treatment for that patient.There is no surgery. There is no chemotherapy. Chemotherapy makes people sick. Mm-hmm. Not that it's a bad thing, but it is a price you have to pay in order to put tumor into remission. Sometimes many of the tumor types require medical oncology or chemotherapy. But if, like I said, if in some of the cases, if the tumor is detected early enough in a very early stages, sometimes radiation can be used as a monomodality.And in that case, the advantage is that you can simply maintain your lifestyle, if you mm-hmm. will, go to work. There is no interruption into your life. You can come get radiation, let's say one session per day for a few sessions. It depends on whether it's a conventional therapy, which about 2 months, or if it is a newer technique called stereotactic body radiotherapy, which typically is maybe five fractions of radiation. So in a week, you'll be done mm-hmm. with the radiation. And the outcome, the 10-year data shows the outcome is similar to surgery. So a lot of people are really considering doing radiation alone for earlier stage tumors.
我能够立刻想到的放疗的主要优点就是它没有侵入性程序。 作为一个患者，当放疗被定为是该患者的治疗方式时，就意味着他既不用手术，也不用化疗。化疗会引发不适，尽管这可能不是一件坏的事情，但却是病人为了治疗肿瘤所要付出的代价。许多类型的肿瘤都需要化疗，但是正如我之前所说的，如果是针对早期的肿瘤，放疗可以作为单独的治疗方法。放疗的优点是，病人可以保持他们原有的生活方式，可以去上班，他们的正常生活不会被打乱。比如病人每天来接受一次放疗，然后重复若干次。治疗时间的长短取决于是使用传统疗法还是新疗法。传统疗法大约2个月，而一种称为立体定向放射治疗的新技术，它通常可能分成5个部分，在1周内就可以完成了。根据我们这10年的数据显示，放疗效果与手术的效果相似，所以很多人都在考虑选择放疗作为治疗早期肿瘤的办法。
So what are the potential side effects of radiation therapy? Can the side effects of radiation cause secondary malignancy?
放射治疗的潜在副作用有哪些呢？放疗的副作用会导致继发性恶性肿瘤吗？
Unfortunately, yes. And that happens only if the radiation is not delivered properly. And that is the job of a medical physicist and a radiation oncologist combined, to make sure the patient is immobilized properly, to make sure that if it is a radiation, particularly in a high dose radiation, the image guidance is used prior to delivering the radiation. So if the radiation is delivered in an area that's delineated as target, so the dose to the surrounding tissue is managed. Through protocols, we will manage it to a point where there might be late effect, but there is no early effect. A late effect meaning 20 years or later. So that means it doesn't really cause a lot of complications. But if the radiation is delivered to a wrong part of the body that is healthy, because of patient movement, because of the error in setup, or whatever that could happen, then yes, radiation delivered to a healthy tissue will cause cancer. Therefore, we are very, very careful. The field of radiation oncology, I think your audience should know, is perhaps one of the most managed or regulated by the government and by various entities. They come and check everything. And particularly if the site that a patient needs to go to get radiation, they should perhaps make sure that that site is accredited by some of the accrediting bodies, such as ASTRO, American Society of Therapeutic Radiation Oncology, that they come and give accreditation to that site by reviewing the past 5 years of the patient to see how the patient was treated and what the outcome was. And many of those things are checked by experts from around the country. And if you get that accreditation, at least it means that that department have met the minimum requirement of the advanced radiotherapy delivery. So I think those are important to the patients to know. Go to the site that is accredited, and then the physicians are certified by the ABR. Therefore, you know you are getting the best that can be offered almost anywhere.
不幸的是，在放射线传递不当的情况下，会发生这种情况。这就需要放射物理学家和放射肿瘤学家共同的努力，以确保患者的身体被准确固定，确保高强度的放射线在图像指导下被准确的传递。那么放疗可能会产生一些后期效应，后期效应指的是可能在20年以后产生的效应。但假如放射线被传递到指定的目标区域，并控制好对周边组织的辐射剂量，一般就不会产生很多副作用。然而假如因为某种原因，例如病人的身体的挪动、设置错误等等，那么是的，当放射线传递到健康组织时，就会导致癌症。所以我们在工作中得非常小心。有几件关于放疗的事情，我想听众们应该知道。放疗这个领域是受政府和有关机构监管最多的领域之一。 放疗机构会接受检查，以确保可以提供例如美国放射肿瘤学会此类认证机构的认证。检查人员是来自全国各地的专家，他们会检查诸如在过去五年里患者的治疗情况和结果。那么获得该认证至少能够证明该部门已经达到了先进放射治疗的最低要求，所以我认为这对患者来说很重要。他们应该去找那些已经得到认证的部门和医生，以确保可以得到最好的治疗。
举办婚礼、生日宴会，请到海景大酒楼。
大型晚会、团体宴席，请到海景大酒楼。
面向 Lake Union 的海景大酒楼提供自500人的宴会大厅，是各类庆典的最佳场所。
难忘今宵尽在中国海景大酒楼。 China Harbor 的电话是206-286-1688 206-286-1688。
Crossings TV、 Comcast 有线电视、 Xfinity 152台为西雅图华人观众送上豪华中文电视节目大餐，东方新闻、凤凰卫视新闻、非诚勿扰、一站到底、芝麻开门，每天还有精彩电视剧和更多资讯和娱乐节目，请记得收看 Crossings TV、 Comcast 有线电视、 Xfinity 152台。查询详细节目信息请访问 www.crossingstv.com。
Just to mention a few examples of the side effects. Let's say we are treating somebody's prostate, for example, and if we are not careful about where the position of the rectum of the patient or bladder of the patient or femoral heads or other critical structures are, then we can deliver more than allowed radiation to those critical structures or organs that are at risk. And then, for example, in a treatment of a prostate, we could cause rectal bleeding or other toxicities within the rectum that the patient will really essentially lose quality of life. So we are very careful when we are treating any area of the body, when we are delivering radiation to any area of the body, we are very careful to keep the radiation dose at the minimum possible to the surrounding structure. So yes, there is toxicity and various effects of the radiation that are managed by the radiation oncologist and the radiation physicist.
在这里举几个副作用的例子吧，比如说治疗前列腺癌，如果我们不注意直肠、膀胱或其他关键结构的具体位置，那么我们可能会提供超量的放射线到那些器官，这样就会造成直肠出血或者直肠内部出现毒性的产生，从而影响病人的正常生活。所以无论是治疗身体的任何一个部位，我们都必须非常的小心。我们会尽可能的将射线对周边健康组织的影响控制到最小。所以是的，放射肿瘤学家和放射物理学家是可以对放射线的各种影响进行调控的。
This brings me to my next question in cancer therapy. NBC 24 has recently broadcasted the news about the latest technique you and your colleagues at Toledo Medical Center have applied in treating prostate cancer. So can you please expand on that for us?
接下来的这个问题是有关最近 NBC 24频道的一条新闻采访。您和您在 Toledo 医学中心的同僚们在治疗前列腺癌运用了一种新的技术，那么可以请您具体的介绍一下这项技术吗？
I'd be happy to. We have always been looking for ways to deliver the maximum dose to the target and minimize the dose to the surrounding normal tissue. I ran across a technologyThat will allow movement of the rectum away from the field of radiation for treatment of nearly all of the pelvic tumors that include prostate, endometrial cancer, cervical cancer, vaginal cancer, etc. How we do that is very important. In the past, we have done that, for example, by injection of a gel between the prostate and rectum, which requires surgery. And also data shows that that particular technology creates some toxicity, level 1, 80% to the patient, mm-hmm. and level 2, nearly 12 or 13% of the patients have toxicity because that gel doesn't get absorbed to nearly 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with this idea to simply insert a tiny device, in, like a pencil, like a pen, into the patient rectum, and this pen will inflate at the distal end of it with a balloon to fill the cavity of the rectum.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it gets heated by nearly 2 or 3 degrees above the body temperature, which can get applied to the material inside of that material of the, we call it, it actuates, it, the nitinol mm-hmm. material. Then it will remember the shape that we gave it in the laboratory. Let's say in this case, it can rotate or turn 90 degrees away from the site of the prostate if you're treating the prostate. So imagine you insert a pencil into the patient rectum, which is in medicine is minimally invasive considered or and is easily tolerated. And then it moves the rectum away from the site of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And we can create a distance of nearly 1.5 or so cm between the rectum and the prostate. Then the physician can comfortably deliver higher level of radiation to the prostate without worrying about rectum tissue, which is typically a dose-limiting organ. We were fortunate to be able to attract a $75,000 grant last year, and this year a $150,000 grant, and we are hoping to submit to NIH for a much larger, nearly $1 million grant to hopefully develop this into a product. But as I have presented this idea into our medical physics and radiation oncology community around the country in the last 2 years, it is received very well, and a lot of people really kind of waiting to have this technology at their hand. I'm hoping within the year and a half or so, this technology will be available, which will help a lot of prostate patients in particular.
我很乐意。我们一直致力于寻找可以提高放疗效果和减少副作用的办法。我找到了一种技术，可以使直肠远离辐射区域。它可以用于帮助治疗几乎所有的盆腔肿瘤，包括前列腺癌、子宫内膜癌、宫颈癌和阴道癌等等。在过去，我们使用在前列腺和直肠之间注射凝胶的办法，这需要手术。而且数据显示，由于凝胶在6个月之内不会被完全吸收，所以会产生一些毒性，比如 80% 的患者产生一级毒性，12%-13%左右的患者产生二级毒性。所以我们想出了一个新的办法，只需将一只像笔一样的小型设备插入患者的直肠内即可。这种设备采用一种镍钛合金材料制造，一旦它被加热到超过体温2-3度以上，将在其远端充气以填充直肠腔。它会记住我们在实验室里为它设置的形状，并且它会旋转至远离前列腺90度的位置。所以想象一下，就像是一种简单的微创手术，将一支铅笔插入患者的直肠，这支笔在直肠和前列腺之间制造一个0.5厘米的间隔，让直肠免于放射线的伤害。这样医生就可以轻松地给前列腺输送更高强度的放射线，而不用去担心影响到直肠组织。我们很幸运，去年这个项目获得了$75,000的拨款，今年又获得了$150,000的拨款。我们希望从美国国家卫生研究院那里获得近$1,000,000的拨款，以期将这项技术发展成为一种产品。在过去的2年里，我已经将这个想法推广到了全国各地的医学物理学和放射肿瘤学界，得到了很好的回应。许多人都在等待运用这项技术。我希望在半年左右的时间里，这项技术将会对很多前列腺患者有所帮助。
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. So I think this will be my last question for this show. So how do you think about the development and prospect of radiation oncology in the future?
来到今晚节目的最后一个问题，您觉得放射肿瘤学的发展和前景将会是怎样的？
So I think the field of radiation oncology is really, like everything else, when we learn something, we break it down to tinier particles, if you will. Field of radiation oncology, we used to treat, for example, when I started this field, When somebody came with a lung cancer, prophylactically we used to treat their brain, the whole brain, just because we knew this is where the lung tumor typically metastasizes into the brain. So even a year before this patient have a brain tumor, we would treat the whole brain. And that is almost never done anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We are moving into the area which is called a stereotactic body radiotherapy or a stereotactic radiotherapy. Each one of those mean we are identifying the tumors at a much earlier stage because of the technology of diagnostic imaging. And for these smaller tumors, we can now wait until these tumors are developed to, let's say, half a cm at least. Then we can, just like you're shooting Christmas light, if you will, mm-hmm. then we are able to target 10, I don't know how many, whatever number of tumors that happen in the brain. Rather than treating the entire brain, we can treat those areas only, which is called a small field dosimetry or a small field treatment. Then we treat those areas only, the whole brain remain intact, and the patient will have simply a better quality life. The high dose rate external beam radiotherapy have gained momentum, which I'm happy to say that I had something to do with it. About 12, 13 years ago, we created a high dose rate in the field of radiation oncology. We changed the dose rate to go from 600 centigrade a minute to nearly 2400 centigrade a minute. And that has gained a lot of momentum in our entire community so that people can treat moving targets, if you will, mm-hmm. tumors of abdominal area such as lung, liver, pancreas, putting a lot of radiation using gating and getting a lot better results as a result of this high-dose radiation and external beam radiotherapy. Another technique that I think will probably be the future of radiation oncology is MR Linacs that are coming into the market. We will have image guidance continuously through the MR, which doesn't really give radiation to the patient as we see the patient movements and then delivering radiation exactly to the area that is delineated by the radiation oncologist and not treating the structure that are outside. These are really some of the exciting new things that are happening in the field of radiation oncology. And I wish I was around much longer to see what's happening next, but these are really exciting.
我认为放射肿瘤学领域就像其他领域一样，我们的研究会越来越细节化。当我刚刚进入这个领域时，比方说在治疗肺癌时，在我们预知肺癌通常会转移到大脑的情况下，我们会在病人患脑瘤的前一年就去治疗他的整个大脑。而这样的做法现在几乎已经不用了。我们正在进入一个被称为立体定向放射治疗的时期。我们现在可以通过诊断成像的技术在早期识别肿瘤，就像点圣诞灯一样，对于较小的肿瘤，我们可以等到它发展到至少半厘米后再进行逐个处理，而不是去治疗整个大脑。我们可以只处理那些被称为小范围剂量测定或小范围治疗的区域，让大脑的其他部分保持正常功能，这样可以相对维持病人的生活质量。我很高兴，在我的参与下，高剂量率外部放疗技术已经获得了提高。大约15年前，我们在肿瘤放射学领域创造了高剂量率技术。我们将剂量率从每分钟600立戈瑞增加到了每分钟近2400立戈瑞，这让我们整个放疗界获得了巨大动力。我们可以治疗腹腔器官，比如肺、肝和胰腺中的移动目标。另一种即将投入市场的磁共振直线加速器技术，我认为它可能会是放射肿瘤学的未来。我们将不断通过磁共振进行图像引导，观察患者体内活动，然后根据放射肿瘤学家的准确描述，将放射线传递给患者。这是放射肿瘤学领域正在发生的令人兴奋的新事情。我希望我能在更长的时间里看到接下来的事情。这太令人兴奋了。
Yeah, it sounds very exciting to me
yes.
too. So that's about the show, and thank you so much for being our show, Dr. Parsai.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for talking to me.
餐饮、
娱乐、
招聘、
交友、
买房、
投资、
演出，
请找西雅图中文电台。
中文电台广告使您梦想成真，最低收费每月仅仅$100就有机会使您的生意或者活动家喻户晓，
赶快行动吧。广告热线2066198698，2066198698，
或者发 email 到 crsradio@gmail.com。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮，请您向具有501(c)(3) 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是 scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话2066198698，2066198698。西雅图中文电台感谢您的支持。